Good morning. As Jason said, today is Mother's Day. How can I speak about Mother's Day when I don't have any firsthand experience at that? But I do have a lot of experience of seeing others who are mothers, including Trisha, my wife. They say mothers are teachers. Yeah, that's true. They are teachers. They're disciplinarians. Ask Trisha. She says she's the one who always had to take care of that in the family. Mothers are cleaning ladies. Some mothers are gardeners. Some mothers mow the grass. Most mothers know that baking cookies is more important, however, than washing the windows. Mothers are nurses. They're doctors sometimes, psychologists, counselors, chauffeurs, coaches, developers of personalities and molders of vocabularies and shapers of attitudes. And their soft voices always say, "I love you." Mothers are really, for our little ones, their first link to God. Child's first impression about what love is all about, so they can later relate it to their Lord. So mothers are all of these things, and much more. Some of you older ones remember the American humorist Irma Bombeck. She died back in 1996. Had columns in the paper every week. She wrote this once. One of my favorite old columns by her. She's telling about God and the act of creating mothers. She says that on the day God created mothers, he had already worked long hours overtime. And an angel said to him, "Lord, you sure spent a lot of time on this one." And the Lord turned to the angel and said, "Have you read the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She's to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She is to have a kiss that will heal anything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She's to have a lap that will disappear whenever she stands up. She's to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers, and she's supposed to have 6 pairs of hands." "Six pairs of hands," the angel said. "That's impossible." "It's not the 6 pairs of hands that bother me," the Lord said. "It's the 3 pairs of eyes. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees through the closed doors so that whenever she says, 'What are you kids doing in there?' she already knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things she's not supposed to see, but must see. And then she has 1 pair right in front that can look into a child that just goofed and communicate love and understanding without saying a word." "That's too much," said the angel. "You can't put all that much in one model. Why don't you rest a while and resume your creating tomorrow?" "No, I can't," "I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger, and can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower." The angel looked at the model of the womanhood that was there and said, "She's too soft." "Oh, but she is tough," said the Lord. "You'd be surprised how much this mother can do." "Can she think?" the angel asked. "Not only can she think," the Lord said, "but she can reason and compromise and persuade." And the angel reached out and touched the cheek. "This one has a leak," he said. "I told you that you couldn't put that much in one model." "That's not a leak," said the Lord. "That's a tear." "What's a tear for?" the angel asked. "Well, it's for joy, for sadness, for sorrow, for disappointment, for pride. You're a genius, the angel said. And the Lord said, oh, but I didn't put that there. This morning, if you have your Bibles, let's turn over to the Gospel of Matthew in the 20th chapter. We're going to talk about a mother. I'm going to call her Mrs. Zebedee, though we could spend 30 minutes here arguing about what Scripture might allude to that her name is. If you're with me in Matthew 20, let me begin in verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Now, we've read that story before. And maybe the first thing that comes to your mind is, well, Mrs. Zebedee here, she's kind of presumptuous to ask that of Christ concerning her. She was well aware that James and John were close to Jesus. I mean, they are, what would we say, two-thirds of the inner circle of those around Christ, along with Peter. So she was certain that when the Lord was going to form his kingdom, that they would probably have some kind of position of responsibility and authority. But in the first part of this chapter, there is a story, a parable told by Jesus that maybe she heard, and if she did, maybe it disturbed her. So if you look earlier in this chapter, you see there's a story about laborers. Went out to labor early in the morning for a landlord. And they agreed upon what was a fair day's wage, and they proceeded to go to work. But then the story goes on to say about noon, the landlord went and got some other workers, and they also went out into the field and began to work. And then later in the evening, there was even more that were added, and they all worked. And when the day was done and payment was due, the landlord paid everyone the same. Didn't matter whether you'd been there for an hour or two or whether you'd been there for 10 or 12 hours. It was the day's wage, and you got it. So maybe that caused Mrs. Zebedee to think, my sons, are they really going to have positions of authority when the kingdom comes? And so the story unfolds itself. And according to Matthew, she comes to Jesus. Mark has this account and doesn't mention her. But here in Matthew, it says it was her, the mother, who came. And what does it say? Kneeled down, maybe bowed down before Jesus. You picture her here on her knees. And she makes a request. Jesus, would you grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and one on your left hand in your kingdom? Well, maybe that is presumptuous. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about kingdom. I did help Tricia watch all of this stuff that just took place over in England. Kind of exciting stuff. Pretty neat crown. Great chair the guy sat in. But there wasn't anybody on the right and the left hand. But in the kingdoms in those days, and probably even around the world today, if you're sitting on the right and left hand of the king, you're probably in a pretty prominent position. And so that's what she wanted. If you notice what we read, Jesus didn't say it won't happen. He merely said, it's not mine to decide. It's my Father's to decide who will sit on the right and the left hand of me. So we could sit here this morning and we could criticize Mrs. Zebedee. But today's Mother's Day, so I want to look at what is positive. What example does she give that maybe modern-day mothers and fathers even should look at and rejoice in? And the first is simply that she prayed that her sons might be a part of the kingdom. Think about that for a moment. There is no more task in motherhood more important than to seek to ensure that your children are a part of the kingdom of God. Now, I know many mothers pray. Sometimes they pray out of necessity. Sometimes they pray because motherhood is not very easy. Sometimes it's extremely difficult. You all remember James Dobson here. He wrote a lot of books. So he told the story in one of his books about his wife and about his son. His little son then, named Ryan, was a very small baby. And it had been a terrible day for his wife. Ryan had been sick, cried all day long. Well, you've experienced that with your child. And so there she was. She was changing the diaper of Ryan, and the telephone rang. So she reached over to answer the telephone, but before she could pick up the telephone, poor little Ryan, whose diaper had not yet been fastened, had a terrible attack of diarrhea. So she cleaned up that mess. She put him in some clean, sweet-smelling new clothes, and she took him into the living room and fed him, and as she had him up and was burping him, guess what? He threw up all over himself, all over her shoulder, and all over the couch. So at this point, James comes in after the evening of his work. And he said, when I came home and the door was open, I smelled the sweet aroma of motherhood. And surely his wife cried out to say, was this in my contract? Yeah, sometimes mothers pray out of the frustration of it all. The frustration of trying to raise, trying to teach their children. And sometimes we realize as parents that what we think we're communicating is not really reaching them at all. One man says he had his two-year-old son. His son was Steve. Gave him his first job, first responsibility. Real simple. Watch your sister. He had to go out of the room. So Steve, the little two-year-old, sitting on the couch watching his sister. From the other room, he heard a thump. And all of a sudden, a little girl, her name was Susan, began to cry. So he walks back in, and there's Susan sprawled out on the floor. She fell off the couch. And he looked at Steve, and he said, I gave you one job. That was to watch your sister. And he said, I did. He watched her fall on the floor. Did exactly what he was told to do. Watch her. Being a parent's not easy. Been there, done that. Sometimes it's filled with joy. Sometimes it's filled with sadness. Sometimes your kids make you so proud that your buttons just pop, and sometimes you don't have enough handkerchiefs in your pocket for all the tears that you've got to dry. But the question really is, in all of this parenting, and especially for mothers, what good is it if your children are successful in making money? What if they drive fancy cars? What if they live in great neighborhoods, but they don't know God? What does it matter, as Scripture say, if they gain the whole world and they lose their soul? Being a parent is not easy. It is difficult. But Mrs. Zebedee knew this. I want my boys to be involved and be a part of God's kingdom. And we need that same concern for our children. I hope that's in the heart of every mother and every father for that matter. the burden of getting your children to be a part of the kingdom of God. That we pray that they might be saved, saved from damnation, but saved into eternal life with God in a heavenly home. There's a second thing she did, though. She prayed more than just being in the kingdom of God. She prayed that they would be involved in the work of the kingdom. Be actively doing something for the work of God. Maybe it's not enough just to be saved. I mean, I guess I could say, and it would be accurate, that there are churches all over this world that are filled this morning with people who are content to just fill a pew. Plenty of people willing to just sit back, receive the blessings, but seldom really get involved in the work of evangelism, the work of the church. But it makes me wonder, where does the spirit of service begin? Does it not begin in the home? Does it not begin in the examples that mothers and fathers set for their children? Yes, we ought to pray that our children are in the kingdom of God, but we need to pray that they're active in the kingdom of God. That they grow up to be teachers and leaders and preachers and involved in spreading the word of God to others. Mrs. Zebedee prayed that her children would be actively involved in the work of the kingdom. And I think we need to walk in her footsteps. But there's a third thing. I think she had great expectations. Not just to be involved in the kingdom's work, but she wanted her sons to sit on the right hand and the left hand of Christ himself. I would guess there's no higher position than that for someone other than the king. I admire boldness, because too often we settle for mediocrity, content with just getting by, letting the church be what the church be, see who walks in the door, but not really getting involved in trying to reach out into the world that needs to be saved. Maybe it is time for all of us to take positions on the right hand and the left hand of Christ. Maybe it's time for us to mold and to fashion an outreach of our lives so that others might come to know Christ. Maybe it's time to strive for excellence, not just being whatever it is and that's sufficient, reaching for the best that can be. What did Irma Bombeck say that God said when he was creating a mother? He said, "I am close to creating something that is very much like myself." That's why today's special, isn't it? Because we all recognize that a mother's love is probably the closest example that we have to God's love. It's a love that goes to the valley of death. It's a love that's willing to sacrifice. It's a love that's willing to bring a life into the world. There's a story told. It comes out of World War II. A true story. It's about the family of Solomon Rosenberg. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were all arrested, and they were placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp. They had one rule, simple rule. As long as you can do your work, you're permitted to live. But when you become too weak to do your work, then you are exterminated. So every evening, Mr. Rosenberg would come back from his daily work into the barracks where they all had to live. And he would search immediately for the faces of his family. And when he found them, he would huddle with them, embrace one another, thank God that they lived another day. One day he came back and he no longer saw his mother and father. They could no longer do their work, and they were gone. And another day he came back, and he had been fearful that the youngest son that they had, who was kind of weak, his name was David, would maybe be the next to be taken. And that evening when Mr. Rosenberg came back, he saw his oldest son, Joshua, sitting over in the corner, huddling, crying. And he ran over to him and said, "Where's the rest of the family?" He said, Oh, Papa, they came for David." And David was afraid, and he cried. "Well, where's your mother?" he asked. He said, "When David cried, Mama said there's nothing to be afraid of. And she took his hand and went with him." That's motherhood. And mothers, that's why this is your day. And may God bless you in it. But that's an example of the love of God towards us. In a very real sense, that's what Christ did when he went to the cross. He walked through the shadow of the valley of death. And he said, "I know you're afraid. And I know you're crying. But it's okay. Take my hand. We'll walk together." I pray that we recognize that today. That someone has walked through the valley for us so that we don't have to walk alone. And Christ, in a very real sense, extends his hand to each of us and says, "I know you're afraid in this life, but if you'll take my hand, I'm always walking with you." This morning we're going to sing the song of invitation, and Christ invites you, if this is a day in which you need to commit yourself to Christ through faith, through repentance of your sins, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is Christ, if you need to be baptized, immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, let's do that today. Come if you will as we stand and sing.